and welcome back to another episode of The Practice Odyssey. My name's Alex.
And I'm Jen.
And if you're new here, The Practice Odyssey is your place to come whenever you would like to learn a little bit more about different flute methodologies or just your practicing. Every 2 weeks, we take some new book or some new app or something like that, and we break it down, practice it exclusively, and report back to you, our listeners, how it improved our life, if it destroyed us, or all the area in between, too. So, Jen, what are we doing today?
Well, we've hit the review. We've hit the review of the massive omnibus of Trevor Wise Practice Book for the Flute. And we're looking back. We're reminiscing on the highs and the lows of this past 3 months plus, 3 months plus of going through.
It's been a hot minute for sure.
It's been, wow. That's it exactly. It's been a long time coming, this review. And we're here. Yes. And we're gonna chat about how we found it. I know. I feel like we've really achieved something. It's a big, I mean, omnibus is the right word for it. It cannot be called anything less. So Trevor Wye is the author of all the books that we've been studying over the past season.
And
Season of Wye. If you're interested in knowing in detail about Trevor Wye, you can find a full biography of him in episode one of the season. And the book on tone. That's where we've done the full biography, but we figured it might get a bit repetitive if we kept giving the same biography over and over again throughout the season. So we've reverted to finding fun facts about Trevor Wye and sharing which we find every episode. So the final one for the review is going to be apparently at the NFA Flute Convention. Not only appeared on the Flute d'Amour, which is a very rare flute, not many people have one of those or play on them, he apparently ended the concert by playing a solo on the mandolin. So there you go, Trevor Wye, a man of many talents, many varied talents and skills, not only proficient on all the flutes, including the Flute d'Amour, but also apparently the mandolin. There you go. Yeah, so reviewing, we're going to have a look back on what we've been doing. So I guess we'll start at the beginning. So
it's tone.
Tone. That's right.
What is tone? So first question, what did you like the most? What was the highlight?
I think with the tone, the standout was, for me, the fact that it was, so you could have literally picked up the flute that week and you would find exercises, which you could do to develop your tone all the way up to like, to university level, college level, and you can find stuff there to help you to continue to develop your tone. Because let's face it, the tone is a really tricky thing on the flute. To make the sound beautiful and homogenous and expressive, it's a lifelong pursuit, isn't it? So I really like this tone book in terms of the fact that you could be a beginner all the way up to university and there was so much which would apply to your practice through this book. And in particular, yes, I think this was the most expansive description of the idea of practicing things like tone color, creating different colors on the flute that I've ever seen. Anyway, but that was my impression of tone. And that's what stuck with me. Alex, how about you?
Yes, I would say what stuck with me the most, like, I don't know, I actually went a slightly different route with it in, like, sections. And for me, the way he approaches the middle register is, like, such an easy and melodic way to work on the clarity between, like, going from, like, the kind of low register up to the notes that are in that nice middle register, which have a bit more, not fuzz, but they are a little more difficult to create clearly because of the way that the fingerings are and the way that the flute is constructed. And how he approaches it, I find, is really good and useful, just like you were saying, for not only beginners, but also for advanced players. So I really love his middle register work and how he approached the lower register. Yeah, where he like kind of introduces the melody. So yeah, I think that would be the highlight for me, was the middle register work on tone. So that was my highlight. Jen, what was your low light?
I don't know. I can't remember really any major low parts of this book which have stuck with me. I think if anything, it comes back to how I feel as the omnibus as a whole. In that the omnibus as a whole, it works the best as a collection. And I think because you can buy the books individually, because of the referencing to other sections of the omnibus is very frequent, and a lot of extra explanation of sections and ideas gets explained in other books, and he kind of, instead of repeating himself, which is fair enough, he makes you refer to the relevant section in the other book. So it's good, but I think in terms of it being a standalone book, you do need the other books as well to refer to get to really, I think, get the most out of this book. But then again, on the other hand, you can get so much out of this book. What about you, Alex? Have any negatives kind of stuck with you?
I think his, so while I do love the approach to the middle register, a lot of it, well, it feels like it's a lot like De La Sonorite. And and he references a lot of other books often in his work, so I'm not certain why he didn't reference that here for these sections. Like, oh, if you would like to work on this, you can go to like De La Sonorite. Maybe because the exercises were so simple in their nature. I mean, it's kind of like you can't really copyright a chromatic scale
just down.
But the first place we saw that we saw that was in like Marcel Moïse's De La Sonorite. So
that's interesting.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just thinking because there was that one of our fun facts was the reason why he started writing these books was because he was next to a student who was practicing from Moïse's De La Sonorite but was doing it wrong. He was practicing very inefficiently and very in a way which wasn't improving his playing.
Yes.
So in some ways I can kind of see if this was the first book that he wrote, I don't know if this is the first book of the omnibus that he wrote. I'm not surprised. It kind of comes across more as this is how you practice Moïse de la Sonorite.
You know what? That's so true.
And,
Jen.
Yeah. That's the end of my
That's totally how it comes across. Because he puts in, whereas I think, like, with the De La Sonorite, for people who, you can reference back, we did an episode on that, I think, in season one or two. He does do an explanation, Mr. Moïse, about each section, but it's a lot less than what it is here. Like, where he would kind of do, like, an overview at the beginning of each section, and then while you were playing, it was basically just the music, whereas here with Trevor Y, there's, like, blurbs quite often before any tricky section or something where you might have to slightly adjust. He's like, keep this in mind, or make sure to repeat this, but, like, do it with a diminuendo, because if you just keep repeating it here, you're not really going to improve. And so, yeah. Okay, well, I take back my minus now. that was an excellent point. And I have nothing, maybe the same point you made, that, you know, really to get the most out of this book, it would be handy to have the entire omnibus. If you only have tone, of course, there's a plethora of information you can still use. But
Does he reference that mysterious book which we've never actually bought?
Yes, which that one that I want to order, but it's like, you know, then I'm already over my book quota for the month. But yeah, there is one on Proper Flute Playing, which we learned about in the very last couple of episodes, which apparently tells you exactly how to structure your practice time based on multiple factors and gives you suggestions. But yeah, anyways, so yeah, so I think that was it for my take on book one tone. Jen, I guess the final question, are you still practicing from book one tone in your daily practice?
Yes, I always, this revived it because it had been a long time since I'd played from this book. It was, I think, university I last did it. I like how he starts tone work on the low register. I've always been a fan of that. I know there's schools of thought which kind of encourage the middle register starting there, and Moïse certainly starts from the middle register in his De La Sonorite, but I've always liked the low register. That's personally worked for me. So, yeah, that's been nice. Fun. What about you, Alex?
Oh, not so much. I would say the advanced tone color I've pulled out a few times because that's really nice, I
that's
find.
Really fun.
And they're really, and his, some of his exercises on flexibility I've also found really helpful.
Yeah.
But often, like, I see them, I think for me, like, a lot of his ideas were, like, first time new, I would probably practice them. But I did use this a lot, like, you know, studying and growing up. And so now I'm always looking, like, for example, his low register tone, he's got, you know, a few lyrical ones, like, 8-bar phrases of famous lyrical moments in music.
Yeah.
The one from the Carnival of the Animals.
Yes, but the aquarium, yep.
The aquarium, thank you. But for me, it's I just want to, like, if I start that, I want to hop right over to Les Soufflets Les Sons, because he also does that over there. And then it's, but they cycle through a few more keys as well, so then I can incorporate like a full register practice, kind of developing my tone instead of just focusing on one.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So I think that wraps up book one, tone. Jen, what was book number two?
We had technique. And how did you find this, Alex? What's your memory of this?
Well, I remember enjoying it whenever we had it, especially his approach, I think, to trills and sequences to a certain degree. Love, but I think my favorite is still going to be the Machiavellian exercises. They're just, they're so much fun and just a great way to get your fingers warmed up, because, like, your brain cannot sleep. So when I say my fingers, I mean the part of my brain that's, like, activating my fingers. Of course,
yeah, you can't
too,
coast
but...
through it. Yeah.
No, you really have to be awake for that. Yeah, so I would say the Machiavellian exercises were my favorite thing from book tone technique that really stand out as like a highlight for the for the book. How about you, Jen? What was highlight of book two technique for you?
I really liked with technique. I liked the very low register exercises.
Oh, right. And like the very first few pages when he does the bit with the foot joint.
Exactly.
That bit, or...
So I'd forgotten, again, I practiced this a lot during college, but I'd kind of forgotten about it. And anyway, I was like, the 2 weeks when we did that, I was doing them every day. And I was like, oh my gosh, all of my low register technique is feeling a lot easier and a lot more in shape now. So that was my big highlight of that one. I did really enjoy that.
Least favorite thing about technique?
The least favorite thing about the technique, I mean, nothing really stood out. It's he's aimed this as the kind of introduction to technique book. And and the technique only really gives you exercises only really for either steps or semitones or thirds, as in the Machiavellian, but none of the kind of bigger patterns which you have to play, say, in Daphnis and Chloe, where you got all the fourths and the fifths, which you have to, like, oscillate pretty quick between. So,
yeah, that's true.
But he hasn't intended this to be the technique book. It's kind of like technique mark one, and then you... jumping the gun, go to advanced practice where he's got, like, he brings out the big guns in terms of technique and it's like cranks it up a couple of notches. So that was my view on technique, but yeah, it's just so good because it's adjustable for your ability. Again, you can be a really newbie on the flute and figuring it all out, and you can adjust these exercises to be within your ability, and then all the way up again to college. Like, you know, you can really good. How about you, Alex? Any negatives which sat with you?
The only negative for me was that the approaching it with any sort of articulation for this technique section, he doesn't really offer too much unless he references another book in the omnibus. So I think that's my thing. Like, you have to have the book in the omnibus, like, on articulation if you want to practice your technique with regards to articulation and how it affects that as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't really touch on it too much whenever he does discuss it. He says, go check out my book three, yeah. I think, Articulation. So
yeah.
That would be my only downside. So it's just that we're missing some stuff. But he puts it in the omnibus. So if you buy the omnibus, of course, you're okay. But for those that just buy the technique book, yeah, would recommend getting the whole thing. So, okay, then final question, Jen. Did this stay on your stand after we finished our episode?
I mean, I've taken inspiration for it, like with the low register exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't practice those exercises in particular. Yes. I would probably do the ones in the advanced practice book instead. But still, they're very good.
Yeah. I think we're going to have a similar verdict. Sometimes I would pop out the Machiavellian exercises just as like a nice warm up to get my, you know, my fingers moving in the morning. With regards to the rest of it, like the patterns or patterns we have seen before and the notes that he mentioned, I think are really good for, you know, people who are just beginning to study this sort of aspect of the flute.
Mm-hmm.
But for the more advanced players, they're a little more straightforward. Maybe like, oh yeah, for sure. That sums up book two. Then speaking of articulation, that brings us over to book three, and also episode three, I believe, of our season, Articulation. Jen, what'd you think?
Now, this book, I believe, like, you in the omnibus, it floats along the surface and you bring it into action when you need help with your articulation. What I loved about the articulation was it was a very methodical approach to how to develop your articulation and how to make it faster and cleaner, which I really liked. But the thing which I really remember about the articulation book was his little problem solving boxes. And he basically outlined all of the most common problems people had with articulation and practice suggestions on how to improve and fix them. And so many of them are so good. And in fact, not just for yourself, but also, as you said so often, Alex, we're teaching and explaining it to students, because it is such a great and very clear way of talking about articulation and introducing double tonguing and triple tonguing. And yeah, that's my big takeaway from the articulation book. What about you?
My favorite, if I had to pick a favorite, would probably be kind of like how he approaches, like the amount of various sequences he includes and how to approach each area of like single tonguing, double tonguing, triple tonguing. Yeah, is like great, especially if you're teaching and you need it for students who are just beginning. It's a great book for getting them started down like the right path and not only focusing on the placement of the tongue, but also like where the emphasis needs to go, like which part of the phrase, like he discusses that, like, you know, like here, do this, you hear how these notes are the important bits, make sure that when you're tonguing those also get emphasized, like that's where your air is going to, because I think that sometimes gets overlooked a little bit. So I think that's what I liked about articulation. Jen, was there anything that was missing that you would have wanted more of, maybe something that you didn't like?
Like, it's got the three standards: single tonguing, double tonguing, triple tonguing both ways, which is great. But it doesn't go into any of the other complex forms of articulation, like, or special effects, if we will call it that, like flutter tonguing, any negatives?
Yep, it's the same with you. Wish there was a little bit more about flutter tonguing and a couple of the other different ways to approach articulation, because it is a book solely on articulation. But yeah, other than that, I mean, there's so much other great stuff. I just want more. Okay, the next question, Jen. Do you still use book three articulation since we finished the episode? Is it still on your stand?
I have to say, I really like how he, because I find one of my personal things is when I've had a break from the flute, like the first thing to go is always the speed of my single tongue articulation. So to get it back into shape, I have to say his exercises for increasing the speed of single tongue articulation are so good. I really, really like them. They work really well for me, and it's a very efficient way for me to get back into shape in terms of articulation. So I think it's one of those things which comes back when I need them. What about you?
I've done a few of them still. I like mm-hmm. how he uses it, you know, and says to in the book, just pull it out when you need it. So yeah. for a couple of areas where I've needed a bit of help clarifying some articulation, I've gone through and read some blurbs just for fun, and they worked out. And I've definitely also used it with some students too. So because...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's just so great. So like I think it I mentioned is. In the book, like, this would be great for students. Yep. Required reading now. Luckily, they have it in German. It's good. So. But yeah.
Our fourth episode was A Mammoth. We combined two of the books because we were running out of time. and we did like, we chose these deceptively small books. We were like, yes. Oh, they're the shortest, so we'll put them together. Mm-mm, they were huge. So Breathing and Scales and Intonation and Vibrato, we combined those two together. Mm-hmm. It was a big fortnight, let's put it that way. Alex, what are your memories of this fortnight? Dare I ask, have you blanked them out of your memory?
Well, I remember fondly reading. Just like, I mean, if I'm going to start, I'll start with the highs.
Yeah, let's go with the highs. Yeah.
Like the Intonation and Vibrato book, it really took me by surprise because that was one book I had never used in my studies at university. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. For some reason, it just never came up. But maybe, I don't know if the omnibus was out. I'm guessing it was out by then. But I had like tone and articulation and advanced practice and a couple of others, but like not... this one or these. I just remember reading it and being like, this is such a great way to approach intonation, yeah. right? Like,
yeah,
because it's such a complicated subject. I mean, it's not really complicated. If it sounds good, it's right. If it sounds bad, it's wrong. You know, like, yeah. So I remember really just like loving sitting next to my piano and trying all of the different things that he discusses, especially in the first few pages. Mm-hmm. Like, if exercises to check the harmonic series and the overtones and everything. I remember really enjoying that yeah. was a lot of fun for me. And mm-hmm. I also remember liking his section in book 5 on breathing and musical phrasing, even though I know I complained about it too, because he jumps right in with breathing with foray fantasy.
Yeah.
Which, okay, so like, so the piece that he talks about starting with the breathing was the one that's, so like usually if you're talking about breathing, you're like, breathe in, breathe out. And that's about the length of the exhale when you're first starting to talk about breathing, especially with like beginner students. But the piece he has this look at initially is like this piece that's like, la, 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 la. And it's like, that's like for beginners, it's, like playing
yeah, like, it's complex.
It's not, it's on or like, it's on college auditions for a yes. reason. Yeah, that opening, just like, it's to play it beautifully, and because the undernotes as well, that the harmonic series, hey, yeah, it was yeah, so I thought I really liked it. But I also, mm-hmm. but yeah, anyways, so despite the fact that I know I complained about that in that episode, his guidelines I thought were really nice for like how to develop your musical phrases. So I really enjoyed that, like his little guidelines. And I come back to that sometimes when I'm struggling now yeah. with the piece. I'm like, okay, what is the harmony doing? Does it interfere with the breathing? Yeah. And like, you know, what is the bass doing? In which direction is the melody going? And so now I always come back and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And then I, you know, put my phrases, my breaths in a little bit and go from there. So yeah, so I really liked those two sections of the book. So the breathing bit and breathing in scales, and the like approach to like overtones in the harmonic series in the intonation and vibrato. Those are probably my highlights from the two books. But Jen, how about you? What do you have any fond memories from the crazy fortnight?
Yes, I do actually. I think we had our we each had our like little kind of rabbit hole moments, and because he does give one of the highlights of these two books is he just gives you this massive wealth of knowledge and insight into like breathing, phrasing, intonation, and vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much information to absorb and understand.
It
and
is.
It's one of those books I think you could just reread all the time and find something new to, or a new way to look at it, a new perspective, a new way to tackle problems. Because let's be real, I mean, breathing, intonation, and vibrato, and scales, sure, a lifetime odysseys of practice for all flute players. So there's always something to work on in these areas, for sure. The vibrato section for me was, I mean, it was very methodical and a great way of teaching someone how to do vibrato on the flute and make it a really nice, well-grounded vibrato, not like a nanny goat vibrato, as he says. But what really I got a lot out of was I loved his future prediction of vibrato, because we figured he wrote this in like the 1980s, and he predicts that vibrato is going to become like a lot more subtle in the future and a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
And it has. And
it has, 100%.
100%. And so, A, he predicted the future. Well done. So clap. But B, I really enjoyed how he went through how vibrato was treated throughout the centuries and how it was used as more ornamentation than it would appear in certain parts of the phrases, and then it was used more as a colour. And anyway, I just found that really interesting, and it got me thinking a lot more about how I could use vibrato differently in pieces I was playing. That was my big highlight. What about a negative, Alex?
Ooh, any negative? I think for me, for me, the negative was kind of like the scales, if anything. Like, it's not that the scales aren't useful. They're very useful. Everything very he useful. Says in there is really good. It wasn't anything new for me. Like, it was stuff that we've, seen in other books. It's pretty boilerplate, I would say. Yeah. So I wasn't as inspired by like other things that he mentions in these two books. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, I have to do all this practicing. Oh.
It's a lot of scales.
It is a lot of scales. I'm glad he has a lot of them. It was nice to have them all in one place, but it just, there's other books that do the same thing that are maybe for my eyes anyways, a little easier to read the way that they like write them. So that was my only minus.
Yeah.
And it's just a personal preference thing. So I think that was it. Because it's not bad. Scales are super good. And he has all the like major and the minor set up, like, they do in Tafnell and Gobert number 4. Uh-huh. He has the expressive scales. He's got major and minor scales, just like basics. And he goes up into a nice high range too, like right up to like C. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he does get do a nice range, and then he does like the major minor diminished arpeggios, the diminished sevens, the harmonic minors and thirds, the majors and thirds. Like, he does cover a whole lot. It's just like, I was like, oh yeah, like it wasn't as inspiring as the rest of the books for me. That's the only thing. So it wasn't even really a negative. It was like, oh yeah, okay, I know this stuff. So,
it's
if that makes sense.
These are all the scales that we should know. Okay,
That was it. And I was kind of sad because some books will put like a quick little like articulation guide at the bottom, like here's some ways to and he didn't really have anything like that. It's all just slurred, which is fine, and if you know how to like do it, it's no problem. But I do kind of miss the little like, oh, here's some various articulations, so if you want to like work on something else, you have some suggestions. How about you, Jen? Anything that you didn't like in particular or think that could be there that wasn't, something that was missing or could have had more?
I mean, I feel like once we started getting into book 5 of the breathing and scales, like at this point it was very much a departure from, you will have a very good grasp of book 2 technique before you start this book. The scales section is... for me did feel like it's nothing new, but then I mean, how do you really reinvent scales? There are scales. It was kind of more like he's bothered to write out, it's like, this is these are the ones that you need to know well, because then you'll have learned most of the patterns which you're going to find in repertoire, so it's just going to make it way easier to learn music. So that was my feeling with breathing and scales. It was very much, this was kind of like indicating that we're at the end of the omnibus, we're nearly at advanced practice. Alex, how did you find advanced practice?
Our last book of the season. Yeah. So also freshest in my mind.
Yep.
I loved it. I thought it was really a great way to, for like all the books before this, it's very much like aimed towards, fundamentals on the flute. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that instead of beginners and intermediate players, because like it's topics that can be discussed at any like age level, but I think they're always primarily relevant. Focused.
Yeah,
they're always relevant. So they really focused on the fundamentals of proper flute playing. He's referencing a book that he should include in the omnibus.
Done.
I know. So I think my biggest takeaway that I really enjoyed here was that he does talk about tonguing between the lips, which I think is a really useful articulation style to know on the flute. Mm-hmm. And that he also has a whole section on like the holding the flute. Yeah, body and hand positions that he talks about, like how your fingers should feel, and that he talks about that. And but then of course he references like these are also set aside in proper flute playing, and there's a beautiful picture in like beginner's practice book for the flute. So I remember really loving that he has that, but come on, you can put the picture in this book too. Don't make them buy the book just for the picture. So anyways, and I remember liking the digital exercises that he has, the 26 digital exercises, because there are finger specific exercises. So if you're saying like, oh, this morning like my right hand third finger is a little lazy and it's a little less responsive, he gives you some ways to like kind of work on that. And as I'm doing that right now, my finger is like does not want to move very quick. So yeah, I think those were the highlights for me, but overall like just a very cohesive, great continuation of like books 1 to 5 put on in book 6. I really enjoyed that, but that might be more omnibus in general thoughts that we can discuss at the end maybe. But how about you, Jen? What did you think of book 6? Did you have any favorites?
I think book 6 was a highlight in that it just seemed to tie the rest of the omnibus together. It was just like the, what did we describe it in the episode? I think it was like the epilogue. The epilogue of every single book. And just gave you further ideas of how to practice the fundamentals, which he'd mentioned in the previous books. And this is where he kind of first really gets quite specific from memory about ways like timing of how you would break up your practice and how much you would allocate to certain aspects of technique. And I thought it was a really nice, it was like a massive compilation of basically all of his hot tips on how to improve your flute playing and how to practice well and different ideas which you could build on in your practice. So
it was a good way to end.
Cool. What are your thoughts summing up the omnibus? How do you feel?
So my thoughts on the omnibus in its entirety, 235 pages of it, I would say that this is just, I think it's kind of like, it's an omnibus. Sorry. I know Trevor Y likes the omnibus, as he also has one for the piccolo as well. But yes, I think it's a great, it would be just a great book to have like from beginning the flute to quite late in your career. So I would recommend just getting this book as soon as possible, I would say, and just using it as like a reference and as a way to structure your practice in a bit. Of course, maybe get proper flute playing as well. TBD. Listen to a future episode, or maybe we talk about that one. So I think overall, I would definitely recommend the Omnibus Edition of Trevor Y's Practice Book for the Flute, books 1 through 6. However, I'm very sad that this, even though I have the omnibus, I have 1 to 6 of his books. I am still missing books.
I'm still like, missing the flute playing.
Just put the other flute books in there. It's just another 30, 40 pages. We're still going to buy the book, you know?
Yeah.
And then I don't have to go and like find another book. And it's all there. So I would like 2 more books in here. I would like The Beginner's Guide to the Flute. And I would like Proper Flute Playing to be included, you know?
Mm.
As like a prologue maybe, and like an epilogue. So that's my verdict. I thought it was very cohesive, very well structured. Overall, would definitely recommend this book for basically everyone, because even if you're an advanced player and you already know a lot of these techniques, everyone has to teach, and this breaks it down and saves you a lot of time teaching wise as well. So that's my verdict. What is your verdict?
My overall thoughts on it was as you said, it's better as a collection. You need all the books. Mm-hmm. Because then you can cross-reference. And yeah, I completely agree with you about how you buy this at the beginning and it's going to be relevant and applicable to you all the way up through university. Like, there's so much here which you can use.
Yeah.
And it can just be adjusted depending on what you need at the time. And he's got so many examples of how to practice, how to tackle problems and... Mm-hmm. And as you said, the fundamentals of flute playing, which is always relevant. But then saying that as a beginner, I think you'd need to do this in conjunction with a good teacher, which he does put in his forewords of every single book. It's like, of course, this book is not going to replace a good teacher, because I think this could get overwhelming because you need to know, you need to go to a point where you know what the problem is and then therefore can go and find the solution. Anyway, so yeah, that would be my big thought. It's just so much information.
It is.
It's amazing. It's like an encyclopedia of the fundamentals of flute playing and such an amazing resource. I mean, this is no surprise that this is one of the flute books. I think that wraps up the season of Why.
We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. That also wraps up season 6. Be back in a few months. So even though the podcast stops, this is usually when we decide to do a big summer project. And I think we have a fun one in the works for this time. So it should be a pretty
Will we actually do it this time? I don't know.
Will we? This is one that we've discussed doing multiple times. And I think we're both a little daunted by it. But it should be good all the same. So if you're interested in seeing what that is, do subscribe. You can subscribe to us on about every platform where you can listen to stuff, I think. Mm-hmm. We're on Amazon. We're on Apple Music. We're on YouTube. You can subscribe to us over on YouTube. You can join our community over there. And if you're feeling super lovely and thoughtful, you can leave us a rating or comment on Apple Podcasts. That's really helping us. And yeah, I think that's about it. Music in this episode was written by moi, Alessandra Woods, and the show art is from the ever lovely Ivan Potter Smith. So again, listeners, thank you so much for all of your support and listening and tuning in every fortnight. We can't wait till season 7 this year. Oh my gosh. So yeah, come back for season 7 in a few months. And until then, have a great summer. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.